Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm joined by Cheryl Lindemann and Mari Garza, and we're your primary selection team here at Cattle. I would have to say the topic of this time's episode grew out of an internal kind of an external discussion of how hard it is to find and sometimes identify materials by and featuring people with disabilities. So we've done, we've done training within the staff, and it's come up in different parts of the podcast. But we wanted to kind of spend some time on some titles that we wanted people to know about.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we found that it's hard to find the materials. The way that they're actually cataloged, the way that they come, makes it tricky to search for them. Sometimes they get lost in our collections, and more, while the publishing is lower in this area, we're seeing more good titles, and sometimes they get lost. So we really wanted to put the spotlight on some today. And I'm going to start out with one that I recommend absolutely everybody read. It's called Demystifying Disability: What to Know, What to Say, and How to Be an Ally by Emily Liddell. And this is an excellent primer, absolutely for anyone, for any adult or even a teen, about people with disabilities. I learned so much from this book. I thought that I knew more than I really did until I read this book. What I love about it, though, is it's very conversational, it's warm, it's non-shaming of the reader for making any potential past mistakes about talking about people with disabilities. It gives the reader tools to understand, what are disabilities, all the categories, and some that people may not even really have thought of as disabilities. They will learn in this book what is included, and then how to talk about people with disabilities and how different communities have different feelings about how to be addressed. But it also talks about the disability community, disability rights, and disability justice, which are all really in some ways three different things, and it introduces those topics to the reader. It's really brief for what is covered, and it's really beautifully written. Just, it feels like she's sitting right there talking to you, and she's like, hey, this is important, come listen. I'm not going to take that much of your time, but I'm going to do it in a way that you'll come away feeling like you can be an ally. And one of the things I really took away from this book was that disability is not the problem. That's how often non-disabled people think of it. It's too bad somebody has this disability. It makes it so hard for them to live. There's a lot of pride in the disability community. And what really comes across is that accommodation is the problem. The way our society doesn't accommodate people with physical and other disabilities. And that's where the problem lies, not in the disability itself. So to move on to the next book that I had, this is a new title from this year. And it's called Sam Super Seats by Kia Brown and illustrated by Cherie Miller. And Sam Super Seats is really a children's book version of the first essay of one of Kia Brown's other adult books called The Pretty One on Life, Pop Culture, Disability, and Other Reasons to Fall in Love with Me. And Kia, this book is truly delightful. And this is a picture book based off of that. And the idea with this book is that Sam has cerebral palsy, but she also has a lot of self-love. She has a lot of great friendships. She has a wonderful family. And so it's about self-esteem. It's really about friendship, but it's also about her super seats. And what does that mean? It means places for her to sit down and rest. So it's a book that embraces rest as something to not be ashamed of, to frame rest positively for people with disabilities and really for everyone. So she has certain seats that are, she actually names them, they're her friends. They hold her in, they help support her. And the author, Kia Brown, has her own seats, and that's in that essay collection that I talked about. And they support her in being a writer and being the woman that she is. She also is the creator of the hashtag disabled and cute. So that's Sam Super Seats by Kia Brown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to talk about two that both of them actually have been talked about in different places, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. I want to double down on my recommendation from an earlier podcast. We sort of actually talked about it being a lead-in to this. We knew we were going to be doing this. I talked about Deaf Utopia by Nell DeMarco maybe two episodes ago. It's a wonderful peek into deaf culture from a really determined and accomplished model, actor, and advocate. I had been kind of midway through it when we last talked about it. I finished it. It's really fabulous. I think it could be somewhat underrated by people who don't respect the fact that he's come up through reality TV shows. But he's such a passionate advocate for deaf culture and has such an interesting story that I really think people should give it a try. But I also want to suggest It's Hard Being You, A Primer on Being Happy Anyway by Sharon Emery. This has come up on our on Cattlecast. Our director, Cattle's director, Scott Dimstra, interviewed her in episode 57 of Cattlecast, and we'll link to that in the show notes. But it's a very local, Greater Lansing, Greater Lansing area, vacationing on Lake Huron, family. But it's just a beautifully written memoir, and it's maybe one of the best things I've read this year about Emery's has a lifelong stutter. She lost a sister to suicide. She lost a child who drowned in Lake Huron. She's built a career in journalism and public relations and teaching. She became a disability advocate, served as a chair of the Michigan Disability Rights Coalition Board. And, you know, if you need more context than that, she's the wife of longtime Lansing State Journal columnist John Schneider, and the mother of Ben Schneider, who's the lead of Lord Huron. So, I mean, it's very local, and it's just a very moving, interesting story, and it's just beautifully written. So just want everybody to give that one a try as well, and check out the interview with Scott, because it was very, very good.
Okay. All right, so I have a middle grade fiction title, which is actually fairly kind of chunky, meaning it's over 300 pages long. It is called Hear Me by Carrie O'Malley Sarah. Sarah is a teacher in Florida, and I'm not quite sure if she is part of the hearing loss community. But this is a book about a child, Rain, 12 years old, who is experiencing progressive hearing loss. And it's kind of the story of, her parents, who really have firmly in their mind what they need to do to get her to not be experiencing this, which includes a fairly invasive surgery of getting cochlear implants. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Rain feeling like, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to do this, because she already has hearing aids that sort of work, for now anyway. And she, the book kind of opens up with her being tested yet again in what she calls like this metal box. And it was really interesting, like just observing, as I'm reading through the book, like how Rain is compensating and trying so hard to hide the extent of her hearing loss, because she really doesn't want to go down that road of treatment with the surgery. And, trying to fool the technicians or the therapists, those who are conducting these tests on her. And then also finding a little bit of an ally with the doctor, who's like, wait, that might not be the best route to go, because the doctor is really trying to encourage Rain's mom to consider waiting a bit, because technology is changing so much and treatments are coming up. So anyway, it's a bit of an adventure in that Rain eventually, goes off on this journey to see if she can find some other experimental therapies. And you can also tell that she is, coming to terms with, this is who I am, this is what it's like, there would be nothing wrong with going to a school for deaf children. It really, really interesting. But also, it made me think a lot about, just the autonomy that even a child has, a say, being able to speak for what you want for your future, your body. It was really, really interesting. So I hope you'll pick that up. Hear Me by Carrie O'Malley Sarah.
That made me think a little bit about parts of El Defo, the graphic novel.
You know, yes, mother that wants... beginning chapter yeah. especially. Because yeah, mother, it's
right.
definitely these testing
yeah.
apparatuses, you know. Just
and
strange.
It's an interesting piece. Contrast to Deaf Utopia because him being from a multi-generational deaf family,
yeah.
he can see that happening with other families, but it's not there where they get sort of the, I don't want to say interference quite, but they're getting it from outside of the family and doctors who are like, maybe you can do this or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas for them, this is who they are.
Right.
Where
right.
he can see in other families, you know, where it's the first person in the family who is deaf.
Sure.
It's a very different yeah. reproach.
Yeah, I am not a parent, but you could just see, like, you know, a parent wants, they experience fear for their child,
exactly.
you know. They think yeah. they won't get the best education or that their future will somehow be dimmed if they don't mm-hmm. do what they think is best. And you could see that with
yeah,
this
and then you've got the
parent.
Other side of Niall's mother is one of those people who's like, no, really, they can have... She would go into the deaf school and actually work with the parents
uh-huh.
when they would let her
yep.
to say, no, it can be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to support them and
right.
let them learn. And
right.
yeah. So it's really... Getting these different views is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that ties back to demystifying disability because one of the other points that comes through is that there is not one disability experience.
Exactly.
And even within a community, there can be different feelings about being called... a person with autism or an autistic person or neurodiverse mm-hmm. or some people still use Asperger's even though it's not in the DSM. I mean, there's so much variety and to continue to learn and ask people,
yes.
even
mm-hmm.
though it's uncomfortable, about
yes.
their own experience and how they want to be identified or
right.
how they're feeling about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. that really brings me into my next book, which is called The Electricity of Every Living Thing, A Woman's Walk in the Wild to Find Her Way Home by Catherine May. And this was a memoir that was released late last year. I think it was November, so it kind of got lost in that end-of-the-year shuffle. And Catherine May, a year prior, had written Wintering, which was a wonderful essay-type collection, very poetic, about winter, about cold, about the northern lights, winter swimming, just this beautiful examination of life in the cold. And it was very popular, and this book, I really want to read it because I enjoyed that other book. But this book is about a journey that she decided to take one year to walk the Southwest Coast Path in England. And this is a path that goes from Somerset to Dorset, and it's rocky. It has steep cliffs. It's up and down and up and down. It's rough going. She's not doing it all in one stretch. She's going there, you know, her husband and son go with her. They might stay nearby, they drop her off, and she journeys sometimes with a friend, but often alone. And it's this journey trying to kind of back to herself, because around that time, she heard a news story by an adult who had a late adult diagnosis of autism. And the story, she hears it, she's like, okay. Well, she's walking, and she starts thinking about it. She cannot let the story go. And she realizes that she identifies with a lot of the things that were talked about in the interview. And so she goes back on this sort of mental journey, looking at herself and saying, oh my gosh, could I be on the autism spectrum? What does that mean? And so she ends up getting, by the end, a diagnosis. But it's really that journey of self-discovery and self-acceptance as she's walking in these beautiful and sometimes severe landscapes. But I thought this was an excellent book because it is about later diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder and neurodiverse diagnosis. And that's something that you do hear about, especially in women. She was 38 years old, and often that diagnosis is that aha moment. It pulls together some of the challenges that one's had in their life up to that point and helps them realize, you know, themselves better. And you do hear about that more, especially mm-hmm. in women, because it's harder to diagnose. Also, ADHD was mm-hmm. something that goes as less diagnosed in women as well. So The Electricity of Every Living Thing by Catherine May. Highly recommend this book.
Okay. I have a cozy, but it's a little different. It's Arya Winters and the Tiramisu of Death by Amita Murray. This is a series debut. It's kind of a millennial play on the English Village mystery It features macabre baker Arya Winters. She's recently inherited her aunt's cottage in a small village, and she runs her business out of the home and avoids her neighbors as much as possible due to an extreme social anxiety. Excuse me. But she did kind of like her neighbor, Tobias, who unfortunately turns up dead from poison tiramisu, which wasn't that way when she made it. So luckily, right off the bat, she's not actually a suspect. It's actually her ex-boyfriend, Tobias's nephew. She kind of, again, she has a variety of issues, and she knows she has a variety of issues. She doesn't really want to deal with people because she doesn't want to those issues to make me worse. But she had been watching her ex-boyfriend, so she knows he didn't kill Tobias. I mean, in the period that they think it happened. But she doesn't actually want to tell anybody that she had been watching her ex-boyfriend at the time. So there's a thing right there. But the case and kind of the things that are kind of popping up out of it as she kind of looks into it is that it also makes her think that there's more to her aunt's death than she realized. And that really makes her dig in and start doing some research. So Arya, definitely kind of extreme social anxiety, but she kind of decides she's going to try and work around it to nose around on this case. But she also, as you go through the story, it never explicitly says anything more than social anxiety, but it displays, she presents as a Tourette's type outbursts, and that's, and it gets worse the more anxious she gets, the less she can control. So there's a lot kind of going on in that sense. You don't get all of her story in this first book. There's a lot to do with her parents and her aunt in her background. And you meet some of the people she knew in earlier in life. But it's a cute story in its own way. There's, of course, a love interest. There is a lot of just, it really is sort of the play on the, she runs into everybody every time she walks out of her house. She's like, I don't want to run into anybody. And she runs into everybody as she's walking down the street in town. And it's just the first of a series. The next one actually is coming out in November. It's called Arya Winters and the Deadly Cupcakes. So the first one, again, is Arya Winters and the Tiramisu of Death.
And the cover is really delicious. It is. All cozies. Even though it's death tiramisu, you still want the tiramisu. I don't know.
Sounds like a good weekend glow.
There is a point in the story where the kind of romantic interest, he's done something nice for her, and she's like, she puts a box of cupcakes on his doorstep and says, basically, I mean, here, of course, then again, P.S., the last person I gave something to is dead. P.S., don't eat this if the sticker's broken. So it's sort of like...
Funny.
That was funny.
Okay, well, I do have a couple more books. The first one is actually a nonfiction book. It's a pretty standard Understanding Dyslexia by Jessica Russick. And it's, I would say, maybe for second to fourth grade reading level, very informative. It starts out with, a slice of life, day in the life of maybe a child. You know, Kai copies the quiz questions from the board into his notebook. He finishes copying. He looks around. And he's recognized that a lot of his classmates have already turned in the quizzes. So he has trouble reading, and he has trouble writing also at the same pace that some of his classmates do. What comes out is that Kai has dyslexia. So the following pages are really a description of what is dyslexia, what can children do to work around that in order to read or have understanding. A lot of children with dyslexia not only are working to you know, with fonts and different things to improve that. But they're also listening to a lot of books, which is a perfectly acceptable way of taking in content and, you know, mm-hmm. stories and information. So I really liked it because it's part of a series on disabilities. It's kind of written, I think, for the person who is not dyslexic, but either or, you could really get a lot out of understanding of the book. And one of the things I really liked, as is often the case in a lot of the nonfiction books, is you get a really nice index and a nice glossary of what the terms mean. And again, that I guess encouragement to not think that, not just do something for someone because you think it's the nice thing to do. Always ask someone mm-hmm. if they need help, if you can help. You know, they might not need your help at all. So the other title I have is also related to dyslexia. This is actually a novel verse called Flipping Forward, Twisting Backward by Alma Fullerton. And I just noticed on the cover that the D is backward. Backward or flipped, I guess you could say. This is about a fifth grader who's an absolutely stunning gymnast. She does a handstand like nobody's business. She's like the top gymnast in her, I guess, local gym. And she knows that she struggles with reading. And for a long time, she's just thought, I'm stupid. I don't do well. And she has a classmate who has been covering for her for quite some time. And I don't know if it's her teacher, maybe one of the principals in the school recognizes this and alerts the mom. Hey, I think, you know, Claire might be, you know, needing some testing. And the mom is so resistant. So again, it's kind of that story of a parent who thinks that, oh, my child will be labeled. I don't want that at all. No, let's just avoid that. I really liked how, you know, there was just this message of like, go for it. Get any support that you need in order to take in your education. So I highly recommend this. It's a very quick read, novel verse.
Excellent. That's our titles for today.
Great.
This was a really fun and interesting topic to dig in on too. And we have it's been interesting. Again, there's still not nearly as much published as we would like to see. But there is more and better material coming out all the time. So that's great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.